Life Audio.
Hey, it's time for Cynthia Garrett's Girl Club. I'm Cynthia Garrett, and I will be right with you in just a moment after this.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hello, everybody. I am Cynthia Garrett, and welcome to Cynthia Garrett's Girl Club. And it is a very sleepy, tired Monday for me after a weekend of travel. But I'm going to dive right in today. You know where you are. This is the place where real girls have real talk about real issues while seeking to apply real faith. And joining me today, I'm going to hang with my homie and my little sister and an incredible evangelist and teacher. She's a part of the Whosoever's movement, which is a youth movement that is just impacting the skate and surf culture around the world. She is really important in the lives of so many young people, 13-year-old, 12, you know, 15, young people that are looking, you know, they're hungry. They're hungry for truth and authenticity in a world that sells truth and authenticity in the fakest package you could possibly ever find. So I'm hanging with Christina Boudreau today. I want to get her on and let's just dive into some talk this morning. What up, girl? It's just us two this morning.
Yeah, we're partying today. I'm excited.
I know, me too. So you've had a busy couple of weeks. We've all been, you know, knee deep in travels and experiences and, you know, and we talk so much about identity as the foundation of everything, Christina. And it's like, when you go through things, your identity kind of gets tested.
Yeah.
You know, so how you doing and what's new?
Yeah. What is new? You know, I think, one thing that was really interesting last night, there's a home here in California that is there's like four homes in the United States that houses teen girls that are survivors of sex trafficking. One of them's in California, two of them are in Texas, and one of them's in Utah. And there's one in California it's a secular home, but they invite us to come in and bring the Lord like once a month, which is crazy. So yesterday we brought just like a bunch of the ladies from my home church, Calvary Golden Springs, just in, you know, just a bunch of mama bears for these girls. Cause a lot of them are, you know, trafficked by their parents, you know, and just rescued. It's like this whole, it's, their stories are tragic. But when we went into the home last night, when we were sharing with these girls, a lot of them are transitioning because California just puts like a limit on how long their programs are. So these girls are only there for 3 months and they have to go back into the foster care system. Wow. And so right now I'm working on building a bridge where these girls can go from that home to the home that we have in Texas. There's like a couple like teen homes there, and there's not a limit on how long they could stay there. They can stay there even past 18 until they could get on their feet. But when I was talking to the girls yesterday, I was really talking to them about how, you know, they're in this program. The Lord has done an amazing work in their life. You know, all of them have given their hearts to the Lord. We're really just unpacking like just this extreme trauma that they've gone through. But we're just talking about, you know, the restoration, the redemption that is found in Christ. But I shared with them how after they exit something like this, like their boundaries are going to be tested. Everything they learned is going to be tested for them to not go back to pimps, you know, to abusive situations, to those things. Because when God begins to heal you, you begin to realize what you came out of and you're like, oh, I don't want to go back to that. And I shared with them that a couple weeks ago, it's probably 2 or 3 weeks ago now, at the end of January, I shared at a conference in the same area that my parents live in, a women's conference at Calvary Chapel. And it was literally 1.8 miles down the street from my parents' house. And I hadn't been back to that area in 2 full years, like within like a 30 mile radius of my parents' house. And so the fact that I went to share at this women's conference was powerful for me to be able to go back and not be moved. But when I was there, I just kept thinking about my golden retriever that I had gotten for my brother when he was recovering from his addiction in 2015. And like that dog, like, I love that dog. That dog has my heart. And I've never loved my horses the way that I loved that dog. Like, I would always come back from missions trips, like tours, and I just loved that dog. And when I was at that conference at the end of January, I told my friend, I said, dude, like, I really want to go and just see my dog. We're 1.8 miles away. And she said, no, Christina, we're not going. Like, you're not going. So it's like, and she just helped me. And it was at the end of the conference. I did good all day. And I knew in my mind, I realistically wasn't going to, but I was like, man, I really want to. Yeah. She said, no, like, you got to hold the line, basically. And so a week later, my dad calls me on a Friday morning. And that day I actually opened up to Philippians 3 when Paul says, I have counted all things as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. And something like, well, I just paused and was like, okay, Lord, like, is that something else we're going to lose? Like, I've lost it all. Like, I don't know what else I could lose that I already haven't lost.
Right.
And my dad calls me and he says, he was like, Christina, we're going to have to put down Maverick today because he has a tumor in his spleen and it's ruptured. And it's just like, you know, it's cancerous. It's just, it's a lot. So they were like, we're going to have to put him down. And so I went, so I'm like, I literally like had so much going on that day. And I just like drove from like almost 4 hours to just straight to the vet's office to say like, hello to my dog I haven't seen in 2 years, but also goodbye. And that was like 1.5 miles down the street from my parents' house. And the entire time they made it about me going to their house. They're like, why don't you just come for dinner? Why don't you just come say hi? Why don't you just come to the house? And I said, no, if you want to see me, you can go to the vet's office. So I'm having to fight like that battle, but also having to fight like, you know, having to just like say goodbye to my dog. So it was like very emotional. And over a week, they kept pushing up the time that they were going to like put him down. They wanted to have a little more time with him. They did the surgery and he still ended up passing less than a week later. I think it just, you know, he had had multiple surgeries before. And so for me, it was hard because, I mean, it was God's grace that I was able to say goodbye to my dog. But for me, it was just really, it was like going to the front lines of my life. You know, the front lines of my trauma and having to stand the ground to say, no, like I'm not walking back into a situation that even when tragedy hits, like to still be able to say no, like even though I literally was scrambled eggs emotionally, I still was able to keep my boundaries up and have a voice for myself through multiple calls, through my parents making me feel guilty, all the things. But I think the biggest thing I learned from that was that God showed me how much he had healed me over the last 2 years to where I could go back into something like that and not be moved by it and still hold like my ground. Like, of course it was devastating losing my dog, but for me, the overarching thing was just to the women out there who have experienced trauma or have experienced, you know, abuse. Sometimes in situations, people that have abused you might say like, oh, well, this is going on. We need you to come back. Or, you know, something's going on. It could put you back in a compromising situation, but you have to continually just hold your boundaries. And that's what I was able to do by God's grace. And so, you know, it was definitely a couple weeks, but yeah.
They want to, you know, it's interesting. And I think there's a lot of people out here who might relate to this. it is very true that oftentimes your abuser, you know, whether it's physical abuse, mental abuse, spiritual abuse, right? You know, emotional abuse, they always try to re-engage you, re-enmesh you in a problem or in a toxic relationship. And it's really not about them because they're toxic, right? On a certain level, their toxicity has been proven. It's about you, you know, and have you learned to love yourself enough to put boundaries around yourself, around your heart, around your emotional stability, you know? And I really think that's what the test is for you. And it's the hardest test in the world, Christina, because it's with your parents. And every person, especially every young person, wants their parents to be their hero and their savior. You know, I spent this weekend in Seattle with an organization founded by one of my very close girlfriends. Her name is Christine Sewell, and we'll have her on Girl Club at some point. She is tiny but mighty. That's what I call her. And I have watched her birth this vision, you know, from the time it was a dream. And she told me in a hotel room in Costa Rica, 4 years ago, hey, I want to start this home for women, you know, called Providence Heights. I want to give them a place to go before they fall through the cracks of life, where they can finish getting their education or their GEDs if they haven't graduated from high school or what have you. Sometimes they'll have women or they'll have children, and I don't want them to be homeless on the streets with their children. So let's catch them before they fall. Why do we wait until we have to pick people up off the streets? It's the same with sex trafficking, right? Like, why aren't we intervening before these women end up trafficked? You know, what's the cry of their heart before they end up in a bad place, you know, on the streets or what have you? And so I was emceeing her third annual fundraising gala. And it was just a beautiful weekend, you know, a beautiful weekend of meeting these women who were smart and capable and wanting to work and all of that, but just needed a leg up, not a handout, just a leg up. And so they were getting it in this program there at Providence Heights. I don't know why, you know, California is just all kinds of cuckoo, because you can't, you know, when you've been sex trafficked, 3 months is not enough time to make a recovery. It's like putting a Band-Aid on, you know, an ocean, you know, that a tidal wave. It's not enough. And there aren't enough resources out there and people who get that it requires a full-on intervention. But, you know, the root of Providence Heights is teaching these women to confront their brokenness with Christ. You know, it's teaching them what their identity is as a daughter of Christ. And it's teaching them to put boundaries around their lives and their goals and their hopes and their dreams, you know, from those abusers or people that have really, you know, been responsible or contributed to them being where they are. And I thought about you a lot, Christina, because I met a young woman named Natalie. She's like, I don't know, Natalie's like 25, 26. And I mean, she was rescued out of a very dark place, dark, dark, cultic, demonic, you know, the whole thing, sexual abuse, physical abuse. Her dad, who's been married 6 times, basically, you know, kicked her to the curb and wouldn't, you know, told her she couldn't even sleep in her car homeless in front of his house, because what would the neighbors think? He's a very wealthy man, just abandoned his kids. Yeah. And she, Providence Heights has year-long programs, 2 years by invitation. And she's in her first year, or she's just finished her first year. She's starting her second year. She's working for one of the major donors. She's in love with Jesus. She's the brightest bubble in the room. She never used to speak before in front of anyone. Now she's like speaking in front of groups of hundreds of people. And it was like watching, you know, you just watched a flower blossom.
Yeah.
And one of the things she said was, well, maybe there will come a day of reconciliation, but I don't live for that day. I put boundaries around myself and I leave my hope in Christ. You know, what's God going to do? It's His, you know. Your parents, just like her parents, belong to Him. And how He deals with them and judges them is out of your hands. You know, the only thing you can do is work on your relationship with you, you know. And it's the same for all of us. You know, bad stuff happens in this world. Bad stuff happens in our families. But the only thing that we can really do is to understand who we are in Christ and put on the truth of the Word of God and choose truth or choose to live on the fence in half unbelief and half belief. And you really won't get anywhere. You know, it's about going all in, you know, and that's what I have found. And you, Christina, have gone all in on your faith, just like Natalie did. And, you know, when you really think about it, like if you want to lose weight, right, and you don't go all in on whatever diet program or whatever weight loss health program or whatever you're doing, you're not going to get the results you want ever. You're going to pop from fix it to fix it to fix it for the rest of your life. It's really only when you go to Christ, when you go to the rock, it's really only when you put on the power of God that you actually see results in your brokenness. And, you know, I'm so grateful for you because the things you share out of your place of, you know, what's been done to you. I don't want to use the word trauma because it implies you haven't gotten over it. I don't want to use the word victimization because it implies that you're not a victor. You are such a victor. You know, you are healing those who are traumatized, you know, yeah, by your very life. And that's really because I think you've chosen to give it all to the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the stories that the Lord has just had me just camping in that He's brought to mind the last couple of days is just a story of Joseph and how, and I literally just got out of bed yesterday morning and it was like, right, you know, and there's still some things like in my life that I've walked through that I've asked the Lord, like, Lord, when are you going to reconcile these situations? Like, when are you going to reconcile just things with my family? And like, I love my family, but when are you going to reconcile that? When are you going to reconcile this or that? And sometimes we have those things. We have the abandonment, we have the betrayal, we have the abuse or these things that have been done. But I realized that what the Lord showed me through Joseph's life is that God ordained for, like, you know, I mean, when you look at the beginning of Joseph's life in Genesis, it's like he has, you know, this dream that he has as a young man in a field as a shepherd. But how was that dream going to come to pass from the field to all of a sudden, like, all this other stuff happening? And God ordained the betrayal of his family, the abandonment of his family. God ordained the betrayal and abandonment of Potiphar's house. He ordained the pit and the prison, and every abandonment and betrayal and abusive situation he walked through led him one step closer to the palace where that promise would come to pass. And the Lord has reminded me the last few days, like, Christina, I don't just put you through things for the sake of putting you through things because I feel like it. Everything that I've allowed you to go through, every abandonment and betrayal has been a closed door to push you closer to the promises that I have for you. And I truly believe that for those that are walking in Christ, I don't want to say this for people who aren't walking in Christ, those who are walking in Christ, when you are walking the straight and narrow path, you know, with the Lord, He allows things. Like, I look at some of the stuff Nova's walked through this last year, and I'm thinking with church, and I'm just like, you and Ricky are two incredible people. And I'm like, Lord, you allowed that in their life because you have something so much better for them. And each of those abandonment and betrayals is a stepping stone to get us to the promises of what God has for us. And every time I experience something crazy, the people that God brings in my life in the next season are some of the most amazing people in the world. Yeah. And I just realize now that I have this thing in my life where just my favorite song is "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back," to where I look at my life now. And I was even sitting the last few days thanking the Lord for everything he's allowed me to go through, because it's gotten me to where I am now, to where I don't look to people. I don't put my hope or faith or trust in people or humans, because I've been let down by all of it. It's in the Lord. So when stuff happens now, it's not that it doesn't, I mean, obviously it hurts, but it doesn't move me, because I just realize I just keep one step forward at a time seeking the Lord.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and talk about seeking the Lord, guys, just so you know, so Christina Reynolds is, she's got it actually an appointment this morning. So we're praying success for her. Nova, who I know so many of you love, you know, she lost her mom. So I would love to, you know, we'll have a time of prayer today, but I'd love for you guys just to remember Nova in prayer, because, you know, it hurts to lose a parent. I can't even imagine. So we're just trying to give her some time to heal and love on her off of camera for a little bit. I know she will have a lot to share though, you know, when she comes back next week or what have you. But we do have a praise report from prayer last week, and I'm really happy about that. It looks like, you know, amongst the things we prayed for from you guys writing in, hey, can I get prayer for this or that? Donna had an answer to prayer, and it looks like her insurance is going through. And listen, I know that's a huge deal, because I've been in a place before where I'm fighting with insurance companies about insurance and blah, blah, blah. So I just want to be faithful to answer, you know, the good stuff, the positive movement that God has done when we ask him to do something. So, you know, thank you, Father, for that. You know, and Christina, I wonder, you know, when you think about loss, you know, because I think whether it's your abuse or losing your dog, Nova losing her mom, you know, losing our innocence in the way that we might perceive a church or a leader, you know, someone we looked up to. When you think about loss, how difficult is it for you not to let it impact your identity, like your core?
Yeah. You know, I think for me, the Lord has allowed me to, I've been to ground zero so many times over this last few years, but I realized so much of my identity was, when you think of a human being, right? Like, I feel like you have different lines of defenses. You know, you have your church, you have your friends, you might have mentors, but you think of like your parents. Like for me, I was like talking to the girls last night at this home, because I sang the song Defender for them, by God's grace. And I love that song so much, because I said, girls, a lot of you in your life, like, you know, it talks about how God is like a shield for us. It talks about in Psalms. But I said, you know, for my parents, that was a shield. They are a shield in our lives. And you know, that shield us from harm, that shield us from people that hurt us, that pray for us, all these things. But I said, in my life, like, that shield was taken and I was left vulnerable out open in a field. But I love how in our lives that God becomes our defender and he becomes that shield for us.
Yeah.
And yeah, when that shield was taken from me completely in 2020, it was a sense of loss I had never experienced, because I remember laying down at a park here in Newberry Park where I live. I was just laying in the grass when I first moved here. And I said, Lord, I've lost churches over the last few years that have shut down because of abusive situations. I've lost leaders. I've lost friends. I've lost my belongings. I've lost my home now twice. But I said, Lord, my parents and my family, that was a sense of like vacancy. Like, I literally would tell people that my soul felt like a big house that was empty with no furniture in it. It was just very empty and it was just vacant. And I said, God, I need you to become everything for me in this season, because this hole is so deep and this emptiness is so, it was just like, I just felt empty. And of course we say we're satisfied in the Lord. Of course we say, God, you're enough. But sometimes he puts us in those situations like he did Job, where he truly asks us, am I enough for you? When you've lost your parents, when you've lost your family, when you've lost your home twice, when you've lost leaders, churches, everything, like, am I enough for you? And I literally looked at my car with my suitcase of belongings, not knowing where I was going to go. And of course, the Lord opened up a place for me. And now I'm so blessed to live in like a cottage here in Thousand Oaks. But in that moment, I had to say, God, you're enough for me. And in that season of loss, I realized what George Mueller is one of my favorite missionaries. He's like a legend within the missions and evangelism world. And there's this quote that he gave that's literally been the screensaver of my phone since 2019. It's literally on the back of my phone. And he basically, because he was married to his first wife, and they, during the Great Depression, had all these kids were running the streets because their parents were working. And a lot of kids were orphaned. So he built orphanages and he fed these kids and he brought these orphans in. And his first wife died, and his children from his first wife died. Then he got married again. And that wife, they became, they were evangelists and they traveled the world. And that wife died, and the kids from that second wife died. And on this quote on the back of my phone.
Wait, what?
Just look up George Mueller. He is an amazing missionary and evangelist. Wow. Like, he's like from, I think, yeah, he was born like, he was like back when like the kings and queens era. This is from like the 1800s, basically. But on this quote, he literally says, because it says that he was like in 92, and he said, you know, at the age of 92, I walk about my room and I say, Lord, I have buried my wives and my children, and you alone are left. I am never lonely nor desolate with you or your smile with it, which is better than life. And I just think of this man who in his ministry life, and he, and when he died, he only had $12 in his bank account. Like, it's crazy. Like, he gave everything. And I look at this man and it's like, he spent his whole life as an evangelist and a missionary. He lost his wives and his kids. He had $12 in his bank account when he passed. Yet he's like a legend because of how much he chose to not allow the loss in his life to keep him stuck. He just kept moving forward. And his first wife, they did all the orphanages together. And then when she passed, it was like he lived a whole other life with his second wife, where they traveled the world as evangelists, which is so crazy. He was like a Billy Graham of his time. And then when she passed, he still continued to teach the word, you know, all through Europe and around the world. And I just think of loss. And that has been my screensaver since 2019. And every time something happens, I look at that and I say, Lord, I am never lonely nor desolate, which does with you. And the Lord has truly been enough for me. And even in this season where there has been things that are unreconciled, you know, when I still have experienced loss, I realize that I gain so much more. And that's one thing that I want to read actually real quick. Because what Paul talks about in Philippians 3 about loss, I feel like this is literally, Philippians 3 verse 8. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And it's so powerful because I realize that the more I lose, the more I gain Christ. And that's why I think of like when Jesus, like I was walking in Miami with my friends. I was visiting a couple of my best friends down at Calvary Miami last week. And one of them just got married. And one of my friends, we're both missionaries. And I look at her, and sometimes people will often, I look at my life, right? Like I drive a 2007 Camry. I live in a beautiful cottage. My guitar is probably the most valuable thing I own. And I think of my life, and I was talking to one of my best friends, and I said, you know, a lot of people look at my life and they ask me what do you have to show for what you do at the end of the year? Like, what do you have to show for like, you know, monetary things for, cause you know, people work and they get, you know, a car, like a house or like whatever, 401k, which is great. But I look at my life and I literally am like, I feel like George Mueller, like I just have my whole life is just spent for the Lord. Because as a missionary, that's just our calling.
Yeah.
And it's not bad to have nice things, but there's some times where I've gone to the Lord and I'm like, Lord, I don't have a lot to show for really anything that I've done for you over the last few years, like at all, like since I was 18 as a missionary. But the Lord reminded me, Christina, everything you've done, you are, when people work, you know, they're working for a paycheck, you know, for a car and those things. But he's like, when you serve me in the kingdom, he was like, you're storing up a treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy and where thieves can't break in and steal. And he just showed me just a vision of all of these banquet tables in heaven that are all filled with these kids and these people that have come to know him. And he said, that's what you're working for.
Yeah.
Is to fill the seats in my house.
Yeah.
And at the end of my life, if all I have in my bank account is $12, like George Mueller, and if God's house is filled, I'm storing up a treasure that can never, that the enemy can't touch. And, cause people often, you know, will, you know, like, you know, I think when I look at like the hippies in that movie, you know, with the Jesus Revolution, it was so beautiful. Cause I'm just like,
yeah.
I identified because I think like, Lord, I don't have a lot, but I'm so content in you and I'm so happy. And it's people that often make me feel like I have less, but in the Lord, I have so much because I have him. Yeah. And I have just what I need to survive and do what he's called me to do.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord has just reminded me of. Like, Christina, your life is like George Mueller, to where you are called to spend yourself on me, to give everything for me. So at the end of my life, if all I have in my will is my guitar that I would give to a friend, like, praise God, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
that
if I were to die today, I would die knowing that I gave Jesus everything. And when you think of the Son of God, didn't have anything. And it was on the cross that his garments, you know, were, you know, they rolled dice to see who would take his garments.
Yeah.
That's all he had. I'm like, praise God, dude. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to hold on to anything in this life. I don't want anything to own me.
Yeah.
I want everything to, you know, be for the Lord. And so, man.
Christina, you're a deep well, sister. You are. Yeah, you really are, you know, and it's, I was going to wish somebody a happy birthday today. You know, our regulars are, a lot of our regulars are chiming in, and I watch your comments, guys, as I'm, you know, engaging in conversation. And it turns out that our birthday girl today, Mish Watkins, who has been so faithful to be here to encourage us, you know.
Happy birthday, Mish.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mish. And share videos with us and about her identity challenge. And we just love you, Mish, and we wish you the happiest birthday. And consequently, the reason why I decided to stop and just say happy birthday now, Christina, is because apparently George Mueller, who you're talking about, is someone that Mish really loves. And she says, I agree about George Mueller, Christina, a true Christian who completely and utterly trusted in God. And he lived where I live here in Bristol, UK. Which is amazing. But I got to tell you, this part really struck me. He never had a plan B like we so often do, just in case God lets us down. That really speaks volumes to me. You know, I was raised to always have a plan B. I mean, my mom told me from the time I was a little girl, you know, you got to always have a plan B. And she meant well by that. You know, she was telling me to be self-sufficient and think through things and have a backup plan. But, you know, when you're living by faith and you're surrendered to Christ as Lord of your life, there really is no plan B, you know? And it's like you say, you know, Christina, it's if you die with, you know, nothing but your guitar to leave somebody and $12 in your bank account, your treasures your plan B has been stored up in heaven.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In all those lives that God has allowed you to be used by him to impact. And I was telling someone this weekend, I said, you know, one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given me is to allow me to be alive, to see some of my fruit, you know, to see some of the young people whose lives God let me be a part of, you know, in their spiritual journey, to see my niece Summer, whose life I specifically targeted to make sure, you know, that she would become not just a woman of God, but protected, you know, purely protected by the Lord, because she's so pure that I always, you know, prayed, Lord, protect her, you know, from the evils of this world. And anyway, I think it's pretty amazing for all of you watching, you know, regulars or new people alike, to really realize that your walk with Christ, your identity, when it's really rooted in Christ, really does, it makes the difference. It is, yeah. It's the everything, you know. And thank you, Mish. Mish writes in, not just the young people, Cynthia, you've impacted this old bird since your sessions days. Mish wrote that. Thank you for that, Mish. I appreciate that. That blesses me greatly. And, you know, I have to tell you, I'm even more blessed when someone who's older and wiser says that in some way I've impacted them, because, you know, wisdom really does come with years. And, you know, for anyone older than me to think that there's any wisdom that God has given me in my journey that they can find important to walk with, you know, that's just a miracle to me, you know. And I'm very grateful. And Mish wrote that she was 80 today. I love the way that you said your age. I know what that is. That's a beautiful, beautiful young age. And happy birthday to you. And
happy birthday, Mish.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Mish. CB, you know, I'm looking at some prayer requests, you know, coming in, and I'm thinking about this young woman, Teresa, who writes in, my prayer is for a much desired husband. It's 31 years since first hubby left.
Mm.
How do you encourage women who say to you, I'm praying for my husband. I'm waiting for my husband. I desire to have a husband. And I know that your walk as a single woman is so admirable. So that's why I'm tossing this one to you, you know?
Oh yeah. Praise God. yeah, only by his grace, to be honest. You know, I think just to my friend, you know, who said that she's 31, you know, and that she, you know, is waiting for her husband. Like I feel that, you know, but one thing I've realized is that one of my dear friends, one of my best friends, we've been missionaries together for many years. She was almost 30 when she got married recently. And she, you know, she was serving as a full-time, you know, girl in ministry. You know, she's on staff with one of her Whosoever guys out in Calvary Chapel Fellowship in St. Pete. And it was, you know, and for so many years, you know, I think she just was content in the Lord. But I remember at the end of last year, she was where you are, my friend, where she just was feeling the stirring in her heart for a husband. And I just said, dude, I'll begin to pray with you, you know, because I believe that I knew that was from the Lord. And she had a good friend at the time where she thought, you know, could this be it? But nothing was happening. And there was a day that the senior pastor from Calvary, Miami, came to teach at their school of ministry in St. Pete. And he met my friend Erica and thought to himself, there's a young man that he's raising up to take over their young adults group at his church named Lewis. And he thought to himself, man, Erica would be perfect for Lewis. So he goes back home and he tells his wife, and they pray for 1 month. 1 month later, my friend Erica goes to their church to do some promo material for their school of ministry. And through a series of events, meets Lewis, texts me a week later and says, I think I met my husband. And I'm just like, who is this guy? Like, I'm going to book a one-way flight to Miami. Like, who is this guy? And I just knew that it's just like, literally, she met this guy in June. I helped plan her engagement in October. They had a very small ceremony on the beach and they got married in December of last year. And I'm seeing it full circle. I went to see her with her other best friend in Miami this last week. And I look at their lives. And for her, right, she's almost 30. And so many people, all her friends, like she would tell me, Christina, all my cousins all have kids, all the same age. And I just feel so left out. And I just said, dude, God has a perfect timing for you. And I realized that if she would have settled for this guy that she was like good friends with last year, she never would have met her husband, Lewis. And her husband are both called to young adults and missions. Like their callings are so the same. And my heart for my singles out there is that a marriage is a God-given desire. A marriage is a desire of mine as well. But I'm at a point now where I'm like, Lord, I want to wait on your best because I know what it's like to settle for something way below what you would have for me. So to my friend that's single, keep seeking the Lord, keep serving the Lord. And as you are seeking and serving him, he will bring you someone that's on that same path. Don't try to make something work in your own strength. Like don't try to make someone the one. I heard someone say, don't try to make someone the one, like be the one, be everything God's called you to be. And my friend was out there like missions, like everything. And God brought her a man that complements that. And I look at him and I think, wow, you know, that's amazing. Yeah. So,
yeah. Teresa is, you know, the answer is the same. Teresa has the unique addition of, you know, having been married and then her husband splits. And now it's 31 years later, still, you know, waiting for another husband. But I think the answer is exactly the same. I mean, Teresa, I agree with CB. Like, you have to just keep living your life, you know, and more than living your life, because see, sometimes living your life can just be, and this is a word for a lot of people. Sometimes living your life can just be going along every day, feeling sort of like, where am I going? It's very mundane, not purpose driven. So you want to live your life in Christ. You want to figure out what your purpose in Christ is. What did he call you to do besides love him, you know, which you do, but there's other things that you can do that give meaning to your life. Open your home. You know, ladies, I would really like to see you, especially our regulars who've been here some time now. I'd love to see you open up your homes once a week. Maybe you can, you know, for those of you who are overseas in other countries, it's nighttime. Maybe you can make Monday nights a night where you invite other women in and you pop on Girl Club and we do it together. And then you guys get off and have your own Girl Club conversation about the things that we spoke about here. Like, I'd love to see Girl Club start to pop up all over the world. And that's really my heart this year, is that Girl Club would begin to grow into gatherings everywhere. And, you know, we're even trying to create some guidelines and curriculum for you guys. So there's some stuff coming up that I'm excited about. I even, you know, Christina, would love to see some of our teachings and stuff become a part of some of the big campus groups here. You know, we have some big opportunities in front of us. And I just think that it's important to start to root yourself deeply in your purpose daily with how you walk out your relationship with Christ. And then a guy is going to appear alongside you complimenting that. Yeah. Like CB said, it's got to complement it. You know, it's got to fit. And you know, you can put together a puzzle, but you can't put together a life, a marriage.
Yeah.
That has to be something that automatically just sinks into place because the Lord,
totally.
The Lord's in it.
Yeah.
I know it's time for Christina to pop off. And so, I'm going to say goodbye to you, CB, and I'm going to stick with you guys for a few minutes and just pray us on out. For the rest of this podcast. I think If you have any prayer requests, I'm going to give you a few minutes to bring them in. You know, Donna, I'm so happy that Girl Club helps you a lot. For those of you listening on podcast, I like to address sometimes the comments as they come in live. For those who are watching on the Cynthia Garrett Ministries YouTube channel, where you can live comment as we film this podcast. So in closing, I just want to ask the Lord to bless all of you. I ask you, Father, to, in the name of Jesus, take this week and may your will be done in each of our lives this week. May we find peace in you. May we find joy and acceptance in open doors or in closed doors, Lord, knowing that man's rejection may be is always God's protection. You know, Lord, I pray for no will but your will for us over this week. I pray victories over this week, Lord. I pray for Donna needs repairs to her house. I pray for much needed repairs for her home. Lord, I know that requires provision. You know, I know we've been in the middle of renovations and repairs for 2 years now. And I ask, Lord, that you would open up the storehouse in heaven and bless her financially so that she can get this done. You know that we're your daughters and we love to nest. It's a girl thing. I know you know that, Father, because you created us with that. So I ask that you would make a way, that you would truly make a way for us to have what we need so that our homes can be just our little sanctuaries, Lord, where we worship you. Father, I lift up my sister Candace. I don't know what's going on in Candace's life, but I just pray for her heart and her mind. I say, peace be still over her heart and mind. Candace, I pray that the longings of your heart would be satisfied in your relationship with Christ, and that you would see him bring to pass your dreams and your desires. I pray for healing. If there's any healing that needs to take place, mentally, physically, spiritually, or emotionally in your body. I pray for Mish today on her birthday. Lord, as she loves to just sit with you, as she walks with you and talks with you, and has surrendered her life to you. I ask, Father, that her next years would be greater than all her prior years, Lord. That you would bless her with an abundance of joy daily. That she laughs for no reason, Lord. I ask that you would bless her with laughter in her home. And with a bright light of your loving presence. And I ask that you would turn that light up inside of her everywhere she goes, Lord. I see her in her house refueling and recharging that light. But I also see her shining brightly in her galleries and in the places where she goes. I see other people impacted by her light. And that light is the light of Christ, Lord. I thank you for Girl Club. I thank you for each and every woman who is here. I do believe there are breakthroughs coming to some of you in areas where you have longed for breakthrough for a long time. I hear the Lord saying, just be still and know that he is God. I pray health, wealth, and protection over each and every woman who is listening and man. And I pray that you would all have a spirit of boldness, Lord. I ask that you would make us bolder. And Father, that you would take 2023 and increase and expand the reach of Girl Club beyond my wildest dreams, Lord. That you would allow me and the girls to see our fruit, to see the impact on lives and on the kingdom. And that you would increase numbers and provision, Lord, so that we can grow and do things, Lord, achieve things ask that you would help us in the putting together of curriculum and in growing Girl Club and expanding its reach into local churches, church groups, and into other ministries that are reaching young people who so desperately need to know their identity in Christ. Lord, I pray confusion off of our nations. I pray that you would reveal all the evil that is done and those who do it as you remove them from leadership positions in our nations. And I ask, Lord, that you would send not just revival, but outpouring, that you would pour out your spirit all over this earth. Lord, in the outpourings that are happening on these college campuses like Asbury, I ask for a fresh outpouring starting today in Jesus' name, starting now. Lord, that you would turn up the heat, that the waters would flow even more abundantly than they've been flowing already, and that these little mini revivals would turn into huge outpourings that impact our nation. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. I'm Cynthia Garrett. Thank you for being a member here, being a part of Girl Club. We are real girls just trying to have real talk about real issues and seek to apply real faith. And we really appreciate your support. Thanks to Life Audio for hosting us. There are other great shows you can hear on Life Audio if you're enjoying this one. We're on podcast platforms everywhere, streaming on Cynthia Garrett Ministries' YouTube channel. Go to lifeaudio.com to find other shows like this one. And at cynthiagarrett.org, you can find all things Cynthia Garrett Ministries. Like us, subscribe, comment, pray for us. And if you feel so inclined, we'll even accept your donations to help us with the curriculum that we are actively putting together now. I'm Cynthia Garrett. I'll see you guys next week.
Has fear stolen your peace? I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, helping you fight your fears and grow your faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.